Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Really fun show. Tonight it's your wrestling nostalgia night, and tonight we're covering Stone Cold versus Eric Bischoff that took place back in 2003 at a pay-per-view called No Way Out. And this one is near and dear to my heart for many reasons, and maybe it is to you as well. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the audio and a voicemail or two from the listeners. So let's get everything going right after this. Are you having a hard time deciding which schools are trustworthy or which position best suits you? Educating Career Consulting is a company that helps prospective English teachers learn how to identify which schools suit them best. We provide you with not only peace of mind, but the knowledge that will continue to help you year after year. For more information, visit educatingkorea.com or facebook.com/educatingkorea. That's educatingkorea.com or facebook.com/educatingkorea. Hey, so do you guys have a craving for learning? Do you feel like maybe you're a little stagnant and falling behind in your business or your career? Do you feel like maybe that extra knowledge will be able to put you ahead of the competition? Then check out onyx.global, onyx.global. This is not an online course, right? This is a personal curriculum customized to what you need to know. The really cool thing about this is that you can choose any topic that you want to learn more about. These aren't just a pre-selected amount of topics that you have to choose from. So head over to the website, onyx.global, onyx.global, and there's a short video that when you go there and you click on the Academy at the top, it'll play a video for you that is extremely engaging. And what I'm going to do here is just let you listen to the audio from it. And I'd really encourage you to go to onyx.global now to check out more information. These guys are just getting off the ground, and this is going to be huge, guys. I'm telling you. So take a listen and check them out.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own, any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It's Wrestling Nostalgia Night. I say this every week, but it is really my favorite night of the week. As much as I love the current product, you guys may love the current product. This is a time when we can go back in history. We can immerse ourselves in yesteryear, and we can look back at some of the most memorable moments, memorable matches, and that's what tonight is about. And we're gonna dive into one of my favorites of all time. It's not a 5-star classic, and those that believe that having a 5-star classic by the definition of 2020 pro wrestling means that you need to have 18 suicide dives and you need to have crazy false finishes and things, I would challenge anybody to that argument, because that's not the only way to have an extremely memorable match. And you could say that maybe this is a 5-star match, but with different criteria, making it a five-star match with Stone Cold versus Eric Bischoff in 2003 at No Way Out at the Bell Center in Montreal. And this was a this match meant so much, not from the perspective of we knew that we thought that we were going to get a, you know, a classic wrestling match. I mean, we knew we weren't going to. It's Eric Bischoff, for crying out loud. And it was Stone Cold. They had a history in WCW with Bischoff firing Stone Cold, and that was brought up. So we're going to dive into the storyline. We're going to dive into some audio, which I'm so pumped. I was watching this match before the show, and it just brought me back. 17 years later, this match still stands to give me chills, and for many, many reasons. So we're going to get into all that in just a minute. But first, welcome to the show. If you guys haven't joined us before, we are here 6 and then soon 7 days a week, where we're going to be pumping out 7 shows a week starting on August 21st. And that will be when our co-host Anthony DeMarco is going to be hosting his own show for the feed and doing wrestling rivalries, past wrestling rivalries. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be similar in nature to the Wrestling Nostalgia. I don't always focus on rivalries. I more focus on like matches, moments, and maybe a particular pay-per-view. He's going to do rivalries. So that is the differentiation. And I think it's going to be a blast hearing him host his own show and hearing your guys' feedback, getting suggestions to us. So that'll be starting not this Friday, but next Friday, August 21st, will be the first show dropping here. So our feed again went from 6 shows now to 7. So, but I think it's going to be good. More voices is definitely a better thing most times. So thank you guys again for joining us here on this August 12th as we jump into the Wrestling Nostalgia. First things first, though, if you guys haven't checked out the Botch Guy on YouTube, please do. Hilarious, authentic, listenable, and just flat out entertaining. So if you guys love YouTube content, wrestling YouTube content, if you're a wrestling fan, I don't know how you don't. Yeah, we have the network, but sometimes YouTube is more satisfying and sometimes faster to find things you're looking for. And the Botch Guy fills that need a lot of times with his reactions to certain moments that happen on Raw and SmackDown. It's just very, very well done. And his subscriber base is growing like crazy. So check out the Botch Guy on YouTube, and we will be doing a SummerSlam review show. So the details of that will be forthcoming, but we will be doing a co-host, our collaborative SummerSlam review that will be on my feed and his. Mine will be in audio, and his will be in video. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to do. So check out the Botch Guy on YouTube. All right. Well, before we get into the nostalgia, and we're going to get to it in a second, I always give the listeners a chance to voice their opinions. And if you want to voice yours, here's how you do it. You can email me a voicemail at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or you can send me a voicemail on my actual number, which it's not my personal number, so don't worry about that. But it is on the on a platform that I have that is not manned. It's a simple ring a few times to a voicemail. And if you're looking to what that number is, it's 518-952-0247. So just do that. And that's exactly what one of our listeners did. So let's take a listen and we will respond.
Hey, it's Awaz again. Just a couple comments. The Seth Rollins and Dominic thing. Actually, I enjoyed that. Dominic really took a punishment there, some serious punishment. A lot of definite bruises and cuts on his back and stomach and, well, pretty much all over him. Truly an initiation, it seems like, for him. So I enjoyed that. The Drew Drew McIntyre coming out and the comments he made and his little interview and then everything with him and Orton and Ric Flair at the end. I really enjoyed that. I knew he would turn on Flair at some point. So Orton is building even more heat. And I'm curious to see what happens with Flair from here, if anything. And then I guess the Underground, Raw Underground is okay. There's some decent looking guys in that seem like they could actually beat the crap out of some people. I'd like to see them more, maybe actually in the ring. Also, is this just the Shane McMahon idea that he's been trying to get his dad to do for a while and now he finally got to do it? I don't know. And the whole Retribution group, if all they're going to do is keep destroying things and that's all we're going to get, it could kind of go away. That's just, otherwise it's just stupid. I want an actual reason behind everything. Just throwing a brick through a glass and then walking away seems kind of dumb. So, anyways, thanks.
Hey, Waz. So thanks for the voicemail, as always, and for listening. So let me address this point by point, and I'll be brief for those that are dying to get to the wrestling nostalgia. But I do want to address everything that you said as briefly as I can. So, yes, Dom took punishment, and it was brutal. There's no faking that. I went over this on my Raw review last night. It was visual, meant to be visual. Clearly, WWE knows what they're doing here with Dom. I think it's a way to have fans who may be hesitant to cheer for him or hesitant to find a reason to cheer for him at least start to build a little respect for him. Seeing him basically, you know, torn apart in the ring to really, number one, as I said, start to build a little sympathy with fans that are unfamiliar with him. And he has had zero time in the ring in front of fans. I mean, zero. Outside of being beat by Brock Lesnar, beat by Seth Rollins. And I think it's also to really garner sympathy from fans. It's supposed to make us feel bad for him and want to see him get revenge. So I was fine with it too. I think it was effective. I do. Even though I'm not really a big fan of Dominic as a character, he's not like inherently likable. I have to try to like him. So nonetheless, Seth is such a good heel that I do want to see Dominic get revenge, even if Dominic is unlikable. So, okay, a second thing, what happens next with Ric Flair? I think he just sits at home. I think Ric Flair sits at home. They did the most easy bump they could do last on Monday Night Raw of a low blow and then having Randy Orton basically gently lay him in the ring. And then with the punt kick, the lights go out perfectly timed for the punt. It was the safest way to do it. And yeah, it is a little bit like, oh, really? The lights went out perfectly in time. And he didn't hit an RKO because there's no way to not take a front bump. And you don't want a guy with a pacemaker who's 71 years old taking a front bump at all, even though you'd probably be fine. Do you really want to take that risk? You know, they did the safest thing they could. They got creative with it, and I give them credit for it. And it makes sense that Randy Orton did this because there's no lengths he will not stoop to destroy whoever gets in his way, and he is truly the legend killer. You can't trust Randy Orton at all. No matter who you think you are, that you have immunity from Randy Orton, you are not safe. And he is all about himself. It's one of the most brilliant heel runs that WWE's had in the last 10 to 15 years. Seriously. I mean, it's damn brilliant. And I love it. And the heat continues to build and build and build. And eventually, I think Flair will come back. I think it's going to be when Big Show comes back, when Christian comes back, and they all surround him and beat the holy hell out of him. And Edge maybe finishes the job, right? I mean, if Randy Orton is just pinned after all this, it's going to be a big letdown. And I mean that because this has to end in blood for Randy Orton. Randy Orton has to be bloodied. Edge can't hold back. He said that he's a rated R superstar now, that he brought out something in him that was basically hiding and was suppressed for many years. And he's brought back that man. Big Show kind of cut the same promo about the angry giant now. He's awoken something in him. Very similar promos. This can't end in just a pinfall. That will be very unsatisfying. This has to be a blood feud. I mean, seriously, I know it's PG, but this now warrants Randy Orton to get busted open and left for dead. I mean, really, think about everything he's done. This can't end in just, oh, I'm going to beat you and, you know, pin you. That's not how this should end. It'll be very, very disappointing if that is apparently equivalent to everything he's done. And, oh, I got exactly my revenge. I got the three count. No, it should be about hurting him. It should not be about necessarily the three count. So I hope they take that logic. After all this heat building built up, that they've done a masterful job of building up the heat for Orton in a way that has not been done in, like I would say, 15 years for anybody. They have to pay this off in a big way, and it has to be Randy Orton left for dead. I'm not kidding. I know that's strong language, but they've done it to a level that has to, it almost warrants that. So, Shane's idea, quickly, last couple points. Was it Shane's idea? Honestly, I don't know. I think it was Vince's. I mean, we'll never know in the production meeting who comes up with what. But Vince approves everything. So I don't know whose idea it was, but I don't know what to really think of it. As I said in the last couple of weeks, I don't know what to make of it. Where's it going? What's the end game? Does it continue? How's this all work? We don't know. I don't know if it's Shane's idea. I'm fine with Shane back on TV. McMahon's draw ratings, and it's interesting to watch. I just don't know the payoff. So it's like an intermission from Raw. It feels weird. And you're right about Retribution. If they just continue to just destroy stuff, you know, what are we supposed to do? But here's the thing. You also can't have the group come on the mic and cut a promo because they're supposed to be the rebellious group that's not supposed to be there. So why would they allow a group that is destroying the property of the company in the ring to cut a promo? So there's going to have to be a bridge there built because we have to hear from them. We have to hear from Retribution about what their mission is. Well, eventually their identities will be revealed in due time, unless it's just a bunch of random new people that we'll have to get to know. I don't know if it's anybody familiar. People think that it's some of the people that got fired earlier in the year during the mass release by WWE, which makes sense given the Retribution name. But yeah, we do need eventually a message beyond the blatant copycatting of Antifa and the riots going on around the world, the smashing windows and up overturning cars and lighting them on fire and destroying stuff and attacking civilians, which is exactly what they're doing here. It's exact. I mean, anybody that doesn't think that this is a direct correlation to what's going on politically, you are not paying attention. I mean, or you are really, really, really a Vince McMahon apologist. It's a ballsy move. It's a ballsy move by WWE because they need to tread lightly on this. And we do need a statement from this group. We need a statement from Retribution. We need some kind of, maybe WWE management decides to, on a one night only basis or something of that sort, allow them to speak their minds, right? Like, let the fans know why you're here and have security surround the ring. Have armed guards to some degree. You can't have actual guns, but maybe they hire the local police. They do that from city to city, depending on the storyline. It's nothing new. But there has to be some message, yes. It can't just be, just inaudible screaming and random slogans or random words screamed. It has to be something. And the only thing I took from any of this, and this will be my final point, is the spray paint on SmackDown when one of them spray painted the WWE logo and put a strike through it saying, you know, basically against WWE. So they are attacking WWE as an organization. It's not specific to a brand. It's the organization. They're out for retribution against the organization. So we'll have to see. I mean, somehow they were able to decipher that their name is Retribution. Somebody talked to WWE. So let's hear more from them. I totally agree. Okay. Thanks for your input, and feel free to call back. Everybody else, please feel free to leave us a voicemail, and we will get you on the show. Again, keep it to 1 to 2 minutes if you can, please. And let's see, that number, as I pull it up here, 518-952-0247. All right, guys, it's time. Let's get into No Way Out 2003, a time when the Attitude Era was gone. We were officially in the Ruthless Aggression era, and the likes of Stone Cold Steve Austin, the likes of The Rock, were waning. Yes, we're talking about Stone Cold here, but he had one more match after this, and that was his final match at WrestleMania 19 against The Rock in Seattle, Washington. So this was truly the last Attitude Era megastar that competed in the Ruthless Aggression era. I mean, yeah, The Rock competed a couple of times, I get it. But the biggest of them all, the biggest Attitude Era star of them all, was competed twice in the Ruthless Aggression era. And yeah, he competed against the NWO, Scott Hall, at WrestleMania 18. But this was a match that I look back at and I have very fond memories of. And those that have not heard, I don't know how, but maybe you're new. So, I'm not insulting you if you're new to wrestling or relatively new. You've only started watching the last 5 years. I would say you're new if you've only watched wrestling for 5 years. If you don't know the story about Stone Cold walking out, the infamous walkout, the infamous phrase of Austin taking his ball and going home, I would really educate yourself on that. I mean, there's documentaries that cover parts of this, and it's very interesting to see how this all led up. And this isn't about the walkout. You could do a whole podcast on the walkout. But in general, what happened was Stone Cold was burned out after WrestleMania 18, facing Scott Hall, buried in the middle of the card with Scott Hall, which is just bizarre. I remember that. And that's the WrestleMania that Hogan faced Rock, and everyone felt it should have been Stone Cold versus Hogan. The Rock faced Hogan instead of Stone Cold facing Hogan, where people were like, Stone Cold's a bigger star. Why is he not facing Hogan? So that was that WrestleMania. And Austin was right after WrestleMania 18, took time off without telling Vince. So that was the first time that was undocumented. That doesn't really get covered, but it happened. And then the second most infamous time that he walked out on the company, literally, was a Monday Night Raw on June 10th, 2002, in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was a match that was supposed to feature Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Brock Lesnar. That's right. I said Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Brock Lesnar. Imagine that for a Monday Night Raw. And that's the kind of, when you think back, we took those matches for granted. Granted, this match didn't happen, but matches of those caliber have happened on Monday Night Raw. And we just took that for granted that it was just every Monday night something like that would happen. And now what are we? We're scratching and clawing for star power. Like, we are begging for star power now. So star power sells, and it always will. But the match was supposed to be Stone Cold versus Brock Lesnar in a King of the Ring quarterfinal. I think it was a quarterfinal of the King of the Ring, or it was a qualifier for King of the Ring. I think it was a qualifier for King of the Ring, I believe. And it was in Atlanta, and Austin didn't show. And I believe they replaced him with Bubba Ray Dudley. I'm almost positive that's what it was, because I remember looking at it like, what? And the whole story broke. And this is before podcasts. We still had the internet, but it was only a few major sites that you could get news from back in 2002. So Austin walked out. He wasn't happy with the creative. He was burned out on top of it. He was hurt. He was having personal issues. All of this led to him walking out. And he left the company for 8 months. And it was hard during that time. I remember, because you're so used to Austin just being a main part of the show. You're always waiting for the glass to break and him to just come out and drop people with stunners, drink some beer, and leave. I mean, it was hard. It was really hard. And it was hard to... it was hard to adjust to that, because you come off of such a high. That wave is so tall that has still not been matched today of somebody like Stone Cold that ended up doing what he did to the company. And I had no ill will towards him. I know he was concerned about the fans and how they'd react upon his return. But certainly, you wouldn't even know that anything happened. And he eventually came back. The storyline that built up to this, and I'll let you listen to the promo to it, but the storyline was basically this, that Vince McMahon came out and gave Bischoff 30 days to turn Raw around, and if he doesn't, he's fired. And he said that the one way to get Raw back on track and take hold of Raw and choke Raw, I believe was the phrase, was to find Stone Cold Steve Austin and bring him back. And he went on a wild goose chase for Stone Cold for weeks and weeks, looking at local bars and, again, being set on a wild goose chase. And at the last moment, Bischoff got word that Austin would be there at No Way Out. And then Vince made the match between Bischoff and Austin. And then at that point, Bischoff was, angry at Jim Ross, who's his best friend, ended up crushing a cylinder block on Jim Ross's face, building more heat. That's when Chief Morley, i.e. Val Venus, was a part of the authority at that point, for lack of a better term. And Austin made his miraculous return to WWE at No Way Out 2003 to face Eric Bischoff. So let's get to some of the audio in terms of the promo. Let's listen to the promo, then we'll get to the entrances and then the match itself. So here's the promo for No Way Out 2003 that essentially says what I said, but in a much more energetic and exciting way.
I hired you, Eric Bischoff, to take Raw right by the throat and choke Raw. And you haven't done that, have you? So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Eric. I'll give you 30 days. 30 days, Eric, to turn Raw around. And if you don't turn it around, you're fired.
The clock is running on Eric Bischoff.
You're aware of the most precious commodity that there is, aren't you?
I just need a little bit more time. The clock is ticking.
It's time.
Damn it! You know there's not another man that can replace me.
Clock's running.
Dead right.
There is only one man that can grab Raw by the throat and shake it to its very foundation.
Needs to save his career.
Don't you remember when you were running WCW? You fired Stone Cold.
He told me, you know, Steve, if you go out there in your black trunks and your black boots, there's not a whole lot we can do to market that.
Eric, did you ever stop to think maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin hates your damn guts?
Eric, do you realize the clock is ticking? You gotta sign Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And you're not gonna sign it. And then are we?
Commodity that there is, aren't you? It's time.
The clock is running on Eric Bischoff.
Now then, Eric, have you signed Stone Cold for No Way Out?
No.
Eric Bischoff, you're fired. General manager tonight. Now it's time to hire another. Right now, I'd like to ask the new general manager to come forward.
What?
What the hell are you doing here?
I just talked to Austin. He's giving me a guarantee. Austin will be at No Way Out. Guarantee. Done deal.
And you know what? As of this moment, I give you your new general manager, Eric Bischoff.
He's dead.
As a condition of employment, Eric Bischoff, at No Way Out, you will be competing in a match. So then in one corner, it's going to be Eric Bischoff. In the other corner, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Eric Bischoff and Stone Cold Steve Austin are going to fight at No Way Out.
Eric Bischoff, 8-degree black belt, karate world champion.
We know that Eric Bischoff always has a plan, always has something up his sleeve.
We'll compete in that.
Ridiculous.
Stone Cold, I'm gonna kick your best friend's ass.
A clear, straight message to Stone Cold Steve Austin from Eric Bischoff, saying I can do whatever I want to do.
And that's the bottom line, because Eric Bischoff says so.
Eric Bischoff, do you realize what you got yourself into? Stone Cold Steve Austin will be back.
All right, so that was the promo. I know a little bit longer than I thought it was, but worth listening to because I think it gives you context into what's going on here. Eric Bischoff was tasked with firing Stone Cold, hiring him. If he didn't, he would be fired. He did at the last second, and then builds heat by attacking Jim Ross, and we're off to the races. I mean, this it still makes me want to see Eric Bischoff get his ass kicked. It happened 17 years ago, and I still want to see it right now. And we will get to that, and we'll get to that audio in just a minute. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to get to the entrances, which, man, when you hear Stone Cold's music hit, it's deafening. I mean, this was the one you're going to want to stick around for. So stay right here. We'll be right back.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
Are you having a hard time deciding which schools are trustworthy or which position best suits you? Educating Career Consulting is a company that helps prospective English teachers learn how to identify which schools suit them best. We provide you with not only peace of mind, but the knowledge that will continue to help you year after year. For more information, visit educatingkorea.com or facebook.com/educatingkorea. That's educatingkorea.com or facebook.com/educatingkorea. Hey, so do you guys have a craving for learning? Do you feel like maybe you're a little stagnant and falling behind in your business or your career? Do you feel like maybe that extra knowledge will be able to put you ahead of the competition? Then check out onyx.global, onyx.global. This is not an online course, right? This is a personal curriculum customized to what you need to know. The really cool thing about this is that you can choose any topic that you want to learn more about. These aren't just a pre-selected amount of topics that you have to choose from. So head over to the website, onyx.global, onyx.global, and there's a short video that when you go there and you click on the Academy at the top, it'll play a video for you that is extremely engaging. And what I'm going to do here is just let you listen to the audio from it. And I'd really encourage you to go to onyx.global now to check out more information. These guys are just getting off the ground, and this is going to be huge, guys, I'm telling you. So take a listen and check them out.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own, any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, guys, welcome back. Thanks for staying around, and let's get to some of the audio here. This is we skipped over Eric Bischoff's entrance. It's actually Jim Ross came out as well, and he returned to be on commentary. I mean, it was like the dream team here. You have Austin in the ring, you have Jerry the King Lawler and Jim Ross in their prime, and you have the coach as well, which I wasn't really a huge fan of the coach on commentary, and he eventually just went to a heel role. But Jim Ross was back, and let's listen to Austin's entrance. It's hard with this audio. You have to really watch it for yourself to feel the whole thing, and I hope that this audio does justice for the pop that he got. It was absolutely off the charts, and let's just listen.
So Stone Cold, I know you can hear me back then. We still have time to do the right thing, and I will forfeit this match to you right now. Better.
So the match then starts, and we're going to get to some of the audio on that in just a second, too. This match doesn't last long, and it was just great to see him back. I mean, I remember how surreal it was to finally see him after 8 months, which felt like 8 years to me, at least as a Stone Cold fan. And the reason I got into wrestling was because of him. And it was, you know, again, you could look at it in a couple of ways, right? You could look at it as, oh, he's, you know, he's spit in the face of every fan. But did he really, though? I mean, in a way he did, in a way that he turned his back on everybody that helped him become who he is. But as a fan, you don't give a damn about that, right? You just care about seeing him again. At least I didn't look at it as, oh, this guy turned his back. No. Like, I mean, look at everything that actually happened that led up to Stone Cold leaving. You have his creative frustrations. And honestly, his creative frustrations were absolutely justified. Why the hell would WWE put Stone Cold versus Brock Lesnar in an unadvertised match in a King of the Ring qualifier on Raw? It made no sense. And that was one of Austin's biggest gripes that night. And really was the straw that broke the camel's back. Of, you're going to put Austin, the biggest money draw in the history of professional wrestling, against the up-and-coming Brock Lesnar, the next big thing, unadvertised, where Brock was going to beat him. Why? Make no sense. And I totally, totally agree with Austin on that. And the you know, the fact that they would unadvertise it, it's just, it's mind-bogglingly bad creative. Totally understand. I'm sure, I know that he had personal frustrations. He went through a divorce, had other legal issues going on with his former wife. That's very distracting. And he was hurt. And he was tired. And he was burned out. That's, I mean, I can't relate to, you know, all those things as far as being a professional wrestler, but I'm sure they were absolutely astronomically tough to deal with. And so you put all that together, and in a way, he's kind of justified to do it. You know, he took a massive pay cut for 8 months. He wasn't even being paid by WWE. And he was able to kind of recharge his batteries. I mean, we all kind of need to do that at some point. So I think he was somewhat justified in doing that. Yeah. Now, again, if you do that, if anybody did that at their job now, you would get fired. I mean, you just do, and you should. But Stone Cold's contributions to the wrestling organization or the wrestling industry were unmatched and continue to be unmatched. I'll stand by that. I really will. I don't think people really sometimes realize the magnitude of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And so I didn't feel personally offended. All we wanted to do at Rez Wrestling Fans was see him again. That's it. End of story. Bottom line. Pun intended, I guess. So we also had a backstory here of, again, Bischoff firing Austin in WCW, as you heard in the promo. There was a built-in story there. And it was just all perfectly aligned to have Austin return in a match that really didn't challenge him in any physical way, but he looked great physically. I mean, he clearly was in great cardio condition and was ready for WrestleMania the following month against The Rock. So, now again, after that, he went on to be co-general manager with Eric Bischoff. He was the sheriff at one point. So Austin didn't go away after he retired, as we all know. But, all right, well, let's continue to focus here on this match. And here's some sights and sounds as things progressed.
Stop one right out of his body. Austin of taking those martial arts gloves off of Bischoff.
Hey, Bischoff's history already. Look, he didn't even know where he went.
Austin, he's in great shape, guys.
Well, he looks great today, Austin. What about Austin? Even you sit down. I know you got to be loving every minute of this.
Bischoff's getting just what he deserves.
Look at those goofy-looking martial arts shoes Bischoff got off.
All right, so Austin ends up just stomping him in the corner. If you got to forget about the what thing, right? That thing that started in 2002 just will not die. And if you don't know, Austin was the originator of that. That started actually in the Alliance in 2001 and really caught fire in 2002. And it was born and it continues to live 18 years later. The what thing still is here. And it's still here with Austin coming out and cutting promos. Vince coming out in any promo they don't like, the what thing has been a thing. And for WWE's sake, over the last 5 months with the pandemic, they haven't had to deal with it. The what things do not exist. But when you hear the fan interaction here, and you don't hear one person booing, this is unanimous decision. This is like a unanimous reaction. There's no booing or half and half, or as long as they're getting a reaction, that's all that matters, as long as they're being loud. No. What really draws money is people truly loving you or truly hating you in unison. You're always going to have those outliers. That's human nature. But as a majority, if you have people loving you or hating you as a majority and are very vocal about it, that's the money, right? That is truly money. And Austin was exactly that. I don't hear a single boo. It was as if Montreal was one voice that night. And not one person was offended enough to care about him doing what he did for 8 months and leaving. And, you know, hey, I wasn't either. So, all right, let's get to the fun part of this. And here we go.
General manager will never forget as long as he lives.
Okay, so that, I mean, I was going to stop it there, but it just, the whole thing is just so damn good that I had to just let it keep going. And, you know, hearing Jim Ross's voice is always a fun thing. Hearing Jim Ross's voice with Stone Cold is just on a whole nother level. Hearing Jim's voice in his prime is otherworldly. And when he's genuinely feeling the emotion, which he was here, it's perfection. And so Jim Ross here added so much to this. And yes, a lot of it is credited to Austin with this moment being so special, but it's also credited to the fans and Jim Ross, who is just absolutely brilliant. I say that on almost every clip that I do because he is just so damn good. It was a moment, as Jim Ross said, it really was a moment. And I remember watching this and watching this at a friend's house. And remember when you had to buy pay-per-views? Remember that? Remember when you had to buy pay-per-views back in 2016 or 2015? Or when did the network start? 2014? It was WrestleMania 30. So that was 6 years ago. So we're out 2014. So prior to 2014, y'all remember having to buy pay-per-views? Saving up your money, saying, oh, is it really worth $40 this month? Is WrestleMania really worth $60-$70? And you had to like gather your friends together or go to a viewing party, go to like Hooters or wherever they were showing it. I remember those days before cell phones. I mean, streaming a pay-per-view on your cell phone was a pipe dream, especially back in 2002 or 2003. I mean, it's just crazy how things have evolved. And it was certainly a moment. And as you really look at the rest of the card, which I want to pay respects to, here's what the rest of the card looked like on No Way Out. It was Rey Mysterio defeating Jamie Noble with Nidia, who I believe was a tough enough winner in a singles match. Chris Jericho defeated Jeff Hardy by submission. Lance Storm and William Regal defeated Kane and Rob Van Dam. Matt Hardy with Shannon Moore defeated Billy Kidman for the Cruiserweight Championship. Undertaker defeated Big Show by submission in 14 minutes. Brock Lesnar and Chris Benoit defeated Team Angle, which consisted of Charlie Haas, Kurt Angle, and Shelton Benjamin, by submission in a handicap match. Triple H defeated Scott Steiner in a World Heavyweight Championship in 13 minutes. Obviously, Stone Cold defeated Eric Bischoff in just 4 minutes. This match was ultra short, but it should have been. I mean, what are you going to do with him? I mean, how long can you sit there and stomp him? It's that fine amount of time where you leave him just satisfied, but still wanting more in 4 minutes and 26 seconds. It's super short, but it was extremely effective. And then at the end, the main event was The Rock defeating Hulk Hogan in a singles match in 12 minutes and 20 seconds. So that rounded out the pay-per-view. And so, again, this is the number one thing I remember from this pay-per-view. It was Stone Cold's return to Montreal, or to the WWE, at the Bell Center in Montreal on February 23rd, 2003. So this was certainly one of the most memorable moments in my mind of Austin's career. And maybe it is yours. So anyway, thank you guys for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Well, my team will be back tomorrow with AEW and NXT breakdowns. Next Friday will be the debut of our new show. Saturday, though, this week will be your HSP SmackDown review, and then Sunday I'll be back with Michael Gross as we round out the week and the week in review on Sunday. So a lot more audio coming to you this week. Thank you guys for listening. As always, I'll talk to you soon. Hey, so do you guys have a craving for learning? Do you feel like maybe you're a little stagnant and falling behind in your business or your career? Do you feel like maybe that extra knowledge will be able to put you ahead of the competition? Then check out onyx.global, onyx.global. This is not an online course, right? This is a personal curriculum customized to what you need to know. The really cool thing about this is that you can choose any topic that you want to learn more about. These aren't just a pre-selected amount of topics that you have to choose from. So head over to the website, onyx.global, onyx.global, and there's a short video that when you go there and you click on the Academy at the top, it'll play a video for you that is extremely engaging. And what I'm going to do here is just let you listen to the audio from it. And I'd really encourage you to go to onyx.global now to check out more information. These guys are just getting off the ground, and this is going to be huge, guys, I'm telling you. So take a listen and check them out.
What is the Onyx Learner Academy? It's the next century digital experience that gives you the tools you need to learn any topic on your own, any field, any profession, any passion. Become an expert in your field on your time. This is not an online course. This is a digital revolution that uses strategic thinking to help you develop self-determined learning skills that last your whole life. We teach you how to learn on your own. Through a groundbreaking 9-step process, you'll be guided through your own personal learning journey. What that journey is and where it takes you is completely up to you. Our content is divided into distinct, easily digestible sections that progressively bring you toward learning mastery. That's right, you can start becoming a master in any field today. And with interactive graphics, videos, and robust informational content, you'll be well on your way to building your talent stack and achieving your dreams. Are you ready for life's journey? Enroll in the Onyx Learner Academy today and face tomorrow with confidence.